Blog Talk Radio.
Classic song by B1. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Zanos Radio Show. This is your host, Noah Ndlovu, broadcasting live on the Zambia Block Talk Radio airwaves from the great state of Indiana. That was B1 talking about he was a good man. People, when somebody dies, that's when they say a lot of good stuff about someone. But people need to be saying good things when somebody's alive. So that was a song by B1 talking about just the importance for us to recognize, appreciate people whilst they are still living, not when somebody dies. So welcome to Zanos Radio Show. It's exactly 2:03 Eastern Time up here in Indiana, and I just want to welcome you for taking this time on this Labor Day. I don't even know whether it's Labor Day or it's Memorial Weekend. So at least for some of us, it's a four-day holiday. So thank you, ladies, for gentlemen, for taking time to be on the show. Today we'll be discussing a very, very touchy, a very, very important topic, and this is life insurance. Life insurance is something that I think where we come from in Zambia, we need to be talking about life insurance, because I think we grew up in a culture or a climate or environment where this was not something that people would discuss. I have had some chats with people. When you talk about life insurance, they feel like, hey, I'm not going to die. It's a sign that maybe you're bringing bad luck on yourself. So we need to change that mentality. So today we have a gentleman from Zimbabwe, and he's going to be sharing what they have going on their side. It's not per se an insurance program or policy, but it's just some assistance program that they have going on. So later on in the program, we'll be hearing from Mr. Cuthbert Machimera, is I think in the great state of Dallas, Texas. And also, prior to getting to the gentleman, we'll be discussing just in general why life insurance is important. Just like I mentioned, we come from a culture where most of us feel life insurance is not important. If you talk about life insurance, it's maybe a sign you are sort of bringing bad luck on yourself. So that's the mindset we are hoping to break. So I have my colleagues here. This is the former association president for Illinois, Mr. Blair Siajunza. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bananoa, and welcome everybody. So, yeah, it is a Labor Day weekend, so thank you for that nice intro. And this is indeed a very, very important subject, especially for those of us in diaspora, the Zambians and I in diaspora here. I know it's it takes a while for mindset to change, but I think we talking about it and sharing stories and keeping this issue alive will help us get to a better place, because we all know what happens, especially here in diaspora, when people fall in hard times. And when, of course, we all know, they say there are two things guaranteed. You are going to pay your taxes, and there's a day when you leave this earth. So those things are certain, but for some reason, African culture, there's reluctance to plan around, you know, what happens when you pass. Even a will, a living will, is another issue. And we know the complexities that come with not having instructions, especially here in the U.S. You know, when you get it, unfortunately, I'm not saying this will happen to anybody, but unfortunately, we've had cases where people have been unconscious or in a coma state, and the hospital has no instructions on what to do, whether to resuscitate or not, or whether to keep you on life support or not. So talking about these things, I think, will help us as the Zambian community, especially here in the U.S. So thank you, Bananoa, and I look forward to this discussion. I won't say much, otherwise I'll steal the thunder. But thank you.
Okay, all right. No, thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, so this is Labor Day weekend, and thank you for that correction. So we are also joined by the Secretary General for OZA. This is the Organization for Zambians Abroad. So we extended an invitation because we as association leaders and we as leaders in general, we have to be speaking the same, coming to the same table to pitch to our people so that at least we're speaking the same language. Because whether you belong to OZA, you belong to an association, you don't belong to an association, at the end of the day, just like my colleague alluded to, there are two things that are assured. And sometimes some people, you can dance around taxes and put your savings in these offshore accounts where you're not taxed there. I think, I mean, the climate in the country where the president has been unable to reveal or expose or share his taxes may speak to that. But something that is very guaranteed for all of us is death. Just when you are born, there's also an appointment time when you will die. So we as leaders, especially in the United States, we have to speak the same language. We have to be communicating to our people and ensuring that at least they purchase life insurance. So without, let me go ahead. I mean, welcome my colleague, the OZA Secretary General. Welcome to our show, sir.
Thank you very much for inviting us and to come and be part of this discussion on this very, very important topic. As you have rightly put it, insurance is one of those instruments or tools that you can use to ensure that you have a dignified send-off, and that you can also secure your last expenses on earth, and ensure that your families do not stray at the time that the unfortunate happens. Again, we cannot overemphasize that there has been a lot of cultural inertia to actually, move and prepare for this. It used to be a taboo, like many people have pointed out here, for an African or even a Zambian to write a will or to prepare for death. I remember vividly one time my father sat me down and was like, young man, we need to kind of secure a plot at one of the cemeteries in Livingston for our family burials. Maybe we need to buy a plot over there and secure it. I felt, why is this man saying this? Why is this man talking like this? But then later, years later on, when he passed away, we ended up burying him somewhere there. But then later on, the second family member that passed on later on, the cemetery was full. And we had to, bury them at a different location away from the city. And that taught me a lesson. My father had foresight. He knew that there was a time that, like you have rightly put, there was a time that each one of us, at an appointed time, that we're going to depart this earth. And he was asking basically for me to prepare for the family and everyone else and for myself. So we cannot overemphasize the issue of preparation. But also, without taking much of your time, it's also about the issue of reducing stress for those, your beloved family, the community at large, and society at large. If I have a financial instrument that can take care of all the final expenses when I die, there'll be less stress on my family. And there'll be less stress on the community. And we can slowly reduce the dependency on GoFundMe and all these other charitable avenues that we use to support funerals. And as OZA, we have developed a vehicle. We have developed a program. It's called the Membership Benefits Program. And the membership benefits program, we have partnered with MLife, Zambia, to provide some, and these are instruments that the diaspora community can buy into and ensure themselves, protect themselves against, unfortunate events like death. And not just themselves, but also their siblings, their spouses and children. So we are negotiating with, we just had a discussion last week with MLife to extend these facilities to siblings back home and here in the diaspora. We have had this partnership since the last 2 years, and we are now in an expansion phase. I reached out to a number of you. A few of you have actually reached out to the presidents of associations if we could extend that facility to your members and your memberships. And a number of you have come back to me, and we are working on some modalities on how we can do that. So again, it's a very important topic. Please, if you need such a facility or such a plan, a cash, funeral cash plan, contact your local association presidents. They'll contact OZA leadership, And it's important. Let me make this very important key before I actually stop here as my last point. Also with associations. One of the key requirements for joining our funeral cash plan that is administered under the membership benefits program is that one has to belong to an association. Or you have to be a member of OZA. So someone can't just come out there, you know, I don't belong to anywhere, I just want to join this. No. You have to, we are filtering this, we are expanding this program through associations and also directly to our members as OZA. So it's important that people get some kind of insurance, not just through MLife, but also here in the USA, there's a lot of insurance products, some as low as $10, that you can actually get and protect yourselves. Thank you.
Yeah, so well said, sir. As people, as Zambians, because I know we can, there are certain things that we can avoid as a people, but death is not one of them. So I think that's the only thing that is guaranteed in life. We have to make sure that at least as we are living, we are making plans, we are taking the necessary steps to prepare, because we've seen this play out time and time again where somebody dies, and then, of course, I know situations are different, but life insurance or final expenses provide some cash back in terms of wealth for those who are left behind. If you plan ahead of time, you secure life insurance, when the time comes, it's not that if the time will come, the time will come for each one of us to meet our end. So when the time comes, especially for some of us with children, we have to ensure that at least there is a plan in place. How are my kids going to sustain themselves when I'm not around? So that's where life insurance comes in, especially for people with small kids. Small kids, by this I mean below 18 years old. They are term life insurance policy, which covers someone for extended period of time, or maybe 5 years, 10 years, if you have, for instance, a child who is 10 years old. So you know the legal age for that person to be legally sort of an adult in this country, they have to be at the age of 18, 19, or 21. So life insurance, for instance, a child with about 10 years old, you want to make sure that you purchase at least a minimum of 8 to 10 year term policy. So in the event of death, which means that the child or the family, they'll be able to have at least some cushion or something to fall back on until the child at least gets past to adulthood, when they are able to work for themselves and earn a living. So it's very, very important if you have children to have life insurance. And not only when you have children, but at least as a parent, you have to make sure that at least your household, they are covered, because we have to speak against or speak through to break this culture that we have where we feel life insurance is for those who are dying and things like that. So I think as a people, this is something that we have to make sure that at least we are doing all our due diligence to chat with everybody out there to ensure that at least people are informed. So let me say welcome to our colleague, 978, area code 978.
That would be Joshua Mwanza. Thank you.
Oh, Joshua. Okay. So, Mr. Mwanza, this is the gentleman. Oh, okay. Yeah, so welcome, Mr. Mwanza. We've had a chat. I think I traveled some time to be part of the book presentation or ceremony that you had, and I'm also aware that you were the past president for the Illinois chapter. So welcome to the show, sir.
Oh, no, it's not that Joshua. Sorry, it's Joshua Mann's West Coast.
Oh, this is that's the different. Oh, okay. My apologies, sir. So, in any case, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see I was on a rant talking about the other Joshua, but welcome to our show. What's your take on life insurance?
I think life insurance is very vital to accepting it to that. I believe it's essential that pretty much everybody needs to have. I know there are a lot of cultural barriers when it comes to thinking about life insurance, but it does more than that, more than just you know, paying for debt and stuff like that. So it's a very, very important asset to have in your portfolio. It doesn't matter as a parent or for children. I took my life insurance for my kids, I believe, when my daughter was born. It was just like 2 weeks old. You know, I never did it literally for death, but I looked at also the other benefits that comes along with it. So it's a very, very important thing that everybody needs to have. Just based on the experience of having seen what most of my clients have gone through and stuff like that. So that's my take on it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah, so let's go back to President Blair Thea Jones, the former president for Illinois. Can you speak in terms of experiences that you've had in relation to life insurance? Speak a little bit about that so at least our listeners can understand why, as leaders, we are pushing for all of us, if we don't already have life insurance, to sign up for either final expenses insurance or at least to have some minimum of life insurance. Can you speak to the importance of that?
Thank you, President Noah, and thank you, Joshua Mwanza, for sharing the story about how you bought life insurance for your two-week-old baby. As has been alluded to here, we are far away from home. We are thousands of miles from home. And when we leave the motherland, we go to international airports. Our Blulus, our relatives, escort us there. And they say goodbye to you, and you come here. When you arrive, you send word how well you're doing and all that. And with time passing, and just to give some context, when ZANUS was formed, the first thing that we tried to do was to understand our demographics as a Zambian diaspora here in the U.S. So we pushed a survey to every state to ask questions like, how long have you been here? What line of work are you in, you know? And from that data, we ascertained that most Zambians have been here around 15, 20 years. So what that means is that when you factor in the age at which we leave Zambia, most of us, you don't leave Zambia when you're a child. You leave Zambia when you're an adult. So you add 20 years to the years that you came here. If you came at 30, you're now approaching 50. And this is the age, you know, where these things begin to manifest, the comorbidities that we talk about. So the data is suggesting that, you know, most of us are aging. So the importance of life insurance and things like wills becomes more critical. Here in Chicago, and I think President Irene, who is the current president of the Zambians in Illinois, is on the call. We've had cases where people have come from other states. They come into Illinois. Chicago, of course, is one of the vibrant cities in the U.S. So they come here, and some of them say, I don't want to connect with Zambians. I'll make it on my own. Got a job. I'll make it on my own. But when they fall sick or something happens and they're in a hospital, maybe they're even unconscious, the people that are in that hospital will not know what to do. They don't know our culture. They don't know how to talk to a Zambian parent. If the parent in Zambia doesn't understand English, even if you give them a number, how are they going to talk to your Blues if they don't understand English? And I'll give examples here. A couple of years ago, this is a thing actually that led me to to become engaged as a leader in the community here in Chicago. I was at home, and about 11 p.m., I got a call from a Zambian who works at the hospital saying there's a woman here. She's in a bad state, and they think she's Zambian, but she has no relatives. The people that are looking after her are panicking because she might pass. So they're looking for any Zambian who can help. So me and my wife, we got together and we rushed to the hospital. And sure enough, we found this woman she couldn't talk. But these people provided a number of a brother in somewhere close to Chongwe. And the only language he spoke was Soli. I know a bit of Soli, so I talked to him and I explained the situation. And he said, let me talk to her. And I put the phone to her ear, and she tried to respond, but she couldn't. You could see she's trying, but she couldn't. So cut the story short, the next day she passed. And, you know, of course, we had to raise money and all that. Thank God we did. But I wish, you know, Zambians, that we would say what everybody's saying here. We know it's guaranteed to happen, whether you are healthy now, but eventually we all know we have an appointment. So it's good that we talk about these things while we're still healthy and we plan for them, just like my brother Joshua is talking about insuring his kids. He's looking at the situation and planning for it. There are so many things that we can do right now, like Brother Mashike has said, you know, there are options. There's MetLife, which is a Zambian insurance company, which offers coverage. There's also Hartford Insurance, which covers you as a group. So, of course, we understand there are issues like you don't have papers, you don't have a social security number, but there are ways we can together, you know, work through these issues, at least plan and kind of have this, a system that works. Because when something happens here, the leaders of the community are on the hook. The relatives back home are expecting the body. And, you know, we know what it takes. It takes no less than $10,000 to get a body back to Zambia. So we are on the hook with this GoFundMe. And right now it's not there's kind of like donor fatigue in the Zambian community. I want to put that out there. As leaders, we need to understand the community. So right now people are reluctant to give to GoFundMe. So what it means is that we have to push for plans to be put in place, and we have to offer this information. And it's basic things, you know. It's the cost of a cup of coffee. You can buy insurance. So I thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about and restate this issue. And I'm sure others will add the personal stories that Chicago is not the only one that has struggled with these issues. We know other states have had similar issues, so we'll hear from other parts of the country where these things have happened, and you know how we can together work as leaders and as Zambians to connect each other. You know, I would say that I don't know why it was easy for Stanley, an American reporter, to find David Livingstone in the middle of Africa over 100 years ago. But sometimes in America, Zambians claim they can't find each other, you know. With social media, with all the tools that we have, we should be able to get together and connect, join a local association, join OZA, at least, you know, be a part of the community and find out what options for life insurance, how if you have plans to write a living will. There are people who can help. There are Zambians with skills on how, you know, you can write instructions. In the case where, you know, you are in a hospital, you're unconscious, they don't know whether to keep you on life support for 6 months. They don't know whether you want to be resuscitated, if you have an event. We need to talk about all these things as leaders and help each other so that we can equip ourselves, because these situations will arise. And sometimes they will call the Zambian Association. That's in the area, you know. I've been called for things like marriage. There's a Jamaican guy who was marrying a Zambian, and I had to rush there just to represent the Zambian side because he wanted to know what to do. So the issues that arise in our communities that need Zambians with the know-how, the heritage, the customs, the traditions. So I also urge us to think about how we can empower our own communities by participating, by bringing ideas to the table, whether we have to use social media, whatever it is we have to do, because there will be a need. Imagine if we are having challenges now, imagine how the next generation, our kids, who have no direct roots to Zambia, how challenging it will be for them when they want to get married, when they want to decide where to bury us, you know, if we don't have wills. These things will be challenging. So let's address these issues. Let's share stories so that we can make it better for each other. Thank you, Bonanoa.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for at least explaining and giving at least some reference point. Because as leaders, I know most people, we try so hard to communicate, to ask our people to join, and they have the option to subscribe to any insurance program of their choosing. So some of us, we are working with Madison Life Insurance in Zambia, or M Life, and then there's the cultural group on the West Coast, most of the associations there. But it's incumbent upon us whilst we live to make sure that at least we are taking the necessary steps to have that dignified send-off. So at this point, let me say welcome to our current Illinois chapter president. This is Irene White. Irene, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Noah. I'm so sorry I came in so late. I'm working, so I had to pitch in because Blair, you know, took over for me. Thank you so much, Blair.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Irene.
Rachel.
So now we're going to say hi to one of our executive members here. This is Mr. Ndebele, who is going to share a little bit about life insurance. Mr. Ndebele, over to you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to say something. I think a lot of good information has been shared so far. And the only thing that I would really want to emphasize on is that we as leaders, we really need to push this topic to the best we can, because like it has been said, you know, there's no exceptions. These things will certainly happen. It's just a matter of time. So in that regard, it is important for us as the community leaders to make sure that we can push this topic, educate people, find ways how we can engage people so that they participate. And I like the idea that was said earlier on, that there was a survey that was taken at some point to kind of understand what we are actually dealing with. So we probably need to do more stuff like that and find out how many people have insurance, who has insurance with who. You know, it doesn't help to us knowing, you know, tying a name to who has insurance, but just to understand what we are dealing with. Like, if we say 75% of our people don't have insurance, and then we know by the end of the day of what kind of problems are we bound to face, you know? Because at the end of the day, they're the living people who are going to face these problems. That's one aspect of it. The other thing is we need to teach our people to be proactive. And most of the times, the reason why people don't take life insurance is that we wait until, it's not that people don't understand it. Sometimes it's just a question of people, they think that there's always plenty of time for them to react to situations. And by the time they want you to do something, probably it'll be too late. So we need to emphasize for our people that it's important for them to be proactive, to be able to take, have a will, have insurance, you know, so that it minimizes the stress that the children will have in the event of somebody passing. So that's my kind of my input for now. Those are the key things that I think as leaders we need to push to understand, to make sure that our people understand these things. And then the other thing is, how best can we engage our people? Will be probably one way is to assign people. You know, every member of the community needs to have at least 5 people they account responsible to ensure those 5 people have insurance, they've got a will. More like sailboats. I don't know if those of you have got sailboats. You know, have 5 people that you're responsible for. So if each person within our community can have 5 people that you're responsible for, help them out to make sure that they've got these key things, you know, life insurance and a will. That's my input.
Okay, all right. Thank you, sir. So at this point, we're going to go back to the OZA Secretary General. And after he's spoken, then we'll introduce Mr. Cuthbert Machemera, who is going to be sharing about the program that they have. So the question that I have for the OZA Secretary General is, what do you see some of the challenges? Because we know back home in Zambia, we could say our culture, our tradition, and the way people are being raised is different because we stick to our traditional ways in Zambia. But when we come to the United States, now I want you to speak on the Zambians that are here in the United States, because I think being in the United States, of course, then we subscribe to a different culture, a different set of values and system. Just like they say, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do. So when you look at most of the Americans here, they have life insurance, they have plans in play, because I think most of the when some of them die, that's when I think some of the there is that wealth creation from these policies when they are cashed in. So the question to you, Mr. Akashambatwa, or Aka, I'll just call you Aka. Aka, the question that I have for you, what would you say are some of the issues or challenges why Zambians don't sign up for life insurance, especially those who had the opportunity to travel and be in places like here, the United States?
Thank you again for this opportunity on this very important topic. I think we have to realize that as human beings, we are creatures of habits, and not just habits, but the habits informed by our personality that is also a function of our tradition, our culture, our values. And as someone pointed out here, I think it was Blair that mentioned and talked about, you know, some of the inertia that we face in assimilating to certain, you know, conditions and requirements as we live in the diaspora. It's the same thing that you find at personal level, where we feel that what happens to us is not the responsibility of ourselves, but the entire extended family and community. Now, let me quickly expand what I'm talking about. In Zambia, you know that when someone dies, it is the responsibility of those that are alive to take care of that, you know, and to take care of the expenses, to make sure we bury our own. You know, that's where all those things come from. We will take care and bury our own. And then you also have this belief system that the community will wrap around those that are mourning, that are in an unfortunate situations, to help and support them. And so that is inculcated in our culture, in our traditions, such that it is by extension, it is also inculcated in our persona and character, values and beliefs. So when you supplant us from Zambia and bring us in a different culture, there will be in Asia to the change. Now, we can change certain aspects that are of immediate that have immediate impact to our lives, such as work, making sure we're paying the bills on time, because here they don't play, they'll cut your bills off, they'll cut your lights off, they'll cut your utilities off if you don't pay on time. So we learn very quickly that those things that impact us immediately, we have to take care of. And then there are things that stay in the backside of our minds, things like investing long-term, you know, buying some kind of a house or a property here and there. And if you look at the Zambian community, we are, because of these factors, we have been kind of, we come to the scene late most of the times, okay? We have not been able to effect the change, the cultural change and the paradigm shift to make sure that we can learn certain things that have worked for our hosts here and use them to our advantage as a community and as people and as personals at the individual level. And so, and part of that is because of the inertia to change. We are always fighting change as human beings. But it's more so for us, especially Zambians, because of our culture. But the good news is that because of programs like this one, because of consistent messaging by community leaders, by association leaders, by OZA and many other organizations that have realized that we are creating an unnecessary burden on ourselves by not taking advantage of the investments that we can make that can pay forward for us and for our families. There has been a slow and gradual change. And that, again, answering your question, I'll make sure that I stay on your question, I don't drift too much, is the reason why people don't buy insurance instantly is because of our culture, because of our culture of dependency. Okay, if you forget everything that we have said, the most important point here is that we come from a culture of dependency. Okay, we depend on our relatives. You know, when you're in trouble, you call your uncle. When this comes up, you call your this one. Here, on the other hand, it's all individualistic culture. You take care of you and your immediate family, your wife, your children, that's it. Okay, extended families, maybe once in a while you can support them, but they are not entitled, or they are not, it's not a must or guarantee that your brother will help you here. That's not how the society works. And I think that cultural the differences kind of shocks us, and we do not respond immediately to this kind of lifestyle here. So we kind of create some kind of breaks and begin to rely on our fellow Zambians here. We know if today Aka is sick or whatnot, they know they're going to see like what the case that he was explaining. Or I can call Noah as president and leader in the community of Zanus. He's going to take care of me. Okay? So there is that silent belief, a small bit, in the back of our minds, what we know, oh, you know what, my people take care of me. Okay, because of the culture. But I think, like someone said, there's been a realization, there's a slow realization that, look, we have to take care of ourselves now while we are alive. And also because there is donor fatigue, someone said. Okay, in terms of funerals, okay, because a lot of people are beginning to realize, okay, you know what, as a people, we need to learn. This has happened so many times, we should learn from it. One person dies, or there's no insurance, we struggle to raise that $10,000 to send the body. I've been at the center of such unfortunate events. The Secretary General of all that together with our leadership, most of the times we are called upon to intervene, especially when there's repatriation and there's struggle in raising money. Our president, Mr. Sadiq Gello, will be contacted, and we come in as OZA to try and support an association or any grouping or some kind of situation somewhere. But, again, we have seen it, and I can confirm to what my fellow leader here, I think it was Blair that said, there's donor fatigue towards this issue. And that's why it's important that we accelerate this paradigm shift away from the culture and the tradition of depending on extended associates and relations and families, because facts are facts, and the truth is the truth. It's expensive to take care of someone who has passed on without any kind of investments or protection, financial protection that is required to take care of them or repatriate them back home. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Well put, Aka. Well put, Aka. Because I think there is that fatigue. I like the fact that you speak about the dependent syndrome or mentality that we have. So before I have Mr. Cuthbert Machamera come in, let me have the association leader for Las Vegas, Mr. Jimmy Katuta, to come in and just, if Mr. Katuta, if you can just sort of expand or share some thoughts in terms of breaking the mentality for our people, because I like the way Aka has put it. It's the mentality of knowing that somebody is going to bail me out. But when you look at the people here in the United States, our native people here, native in this case, like regular Americans, they do not depend on family members. They actually put their plans, just like Aka has spoken. So, Mr. Katuta, what's your take on the discussion so far?
Well, good morning. I don't know what time is it. I think it's afternoon. There's still morning here. President Noah, thank you for this opportunity and just the platform. And to everybody on the call, on the radio show, thank you for your input. Everything that needs to be said, I think, has been said from all the leaders that have spoken and shared here. The one thing that we should really explore as leaders is there a way that perhaps we can set aside a fund and select certain demographics or certain areas where we can pick a group of people, especially the elderly, that may not have finances to pay for the insurance, and we pick a few of them and we pay for them for at least 1 year. Because what I have noticed is that the reason most of us don't try to get life insurance is because we feel that we won't qualify. We feel that because of pre-existing conditions or whatever their circumstances may be, people just don't want to go through the process because they feel they'll be denied. That is why I have endorsed President Mwengu of the Northern California area. I've endorsed his plan of group life insurance, which is through Hartford. I and my wife, my family, my mother, my sisters are all signed up for that. And it's very, very inexpensive. I'm not trying to create any competition, but I think we should formulate a way where we should formulate a system, rather, where all of us can put our heads together and take this to our community. My brother from OZA, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. I think it was Blair. What he's saying is very, very important and valid. We need to get insurance for our people because, for one, you have to understand, fellow leaders, it is not only embarrassing for us to be going begging for people to give us money through GoFundMe to bury our people. it's just we are too educated and too rich as Zambians to be dealing with that. We should find a way to overcome that. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is going to be an easy task, by no means, not at all. I will give you a short, boring example. I am the current president of the African diaspora of Las Vegas, where we have 27 countries represented. So this story of death is far too familiar to me. I deal with this on a regular basis, especially with this COVID pandemic. I was just at a funeral last night. One of our board members, who was Nigerian, died. Not too long ago, a friend of ours, a Zambian, died in L.A. So, and then as leaders, we are burdened with this because we can't run from it. We can't shy away from it. Like my other brother said, when somebody reached out to him and said there was a Zambian who was in the hospital dying, whether our brother here was the leader of the community or not, if somebody knew who he was, they reached out to him, and guess what? He was out there doing what a leader should do, and for that, my brother, I commend you. And that's the kind of behavior we expect from our leaders. So what we need to do is, and I'd like to put this out there, put it up for debate, we need to find people that we can say, okay, so let's pick maybe 10 families. Whatever criteria we use, we can work the logistics later. And we say we'll pay for them for the first year. And then after that, we pick a different family. And then we go on and on until we find, maybe with our 501c3s that we have collectively, we can find a grant that might help us cover our people. So in a nutshell, the story of Zambians dying abroad and us going around trying to raise money for GoFundMe has been like the I think it was Blair who said our community is dollar fatigued, because every time you put a you pay somebody passes, you find yourself you're giving money, and then another one passes, and then another one, and then another one. How long can we do? It's unsustainable. So I believe that we should put something in place that should cover everybody, and starting with a small group. That is my take, President Noah. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. Well said, sir. You are listening to Zanu's radio show. It comes every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And now we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to ask there's a gentleman we have extended an invitation. He's Mr. Cuthbert Machemera, and they have a program which I like. I think it's a good program. So, Mr. Chamera, if you can share with us a little bit about you, the program that you are running there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes. My name is Cuthbert Machemera. I'm president for the Rest Haven Community Fund. Rest Haven Community Fund is primarily a Zimbabwean-run association, but we have opened it to our fellow African, colleagues who would like to join us. And we actually have some right now who are members. You know, we have a few who are members who are not Zimbabwean, but it's something that it's a concept that came across. Into inception from, leaders in the Zimbabwean community, just like you all are doing here. I just want to commend all the speakers that came before me who spoke especially about the importance of life insurance. I cannot reiterate how important that is. I have life insurance myself. Yes, sometimes you need it when you have young kids, but even when kids are grown, sometimes many of us are still paying on our mortgages. And the last thing that you want is when you die, if you and your wife have been paying your mortgage together, you don't want her left with one income, and then she can no longer pay the full amount that you were able to pay because now one of the incomes is gone. So when you have life insurance, that can be a boost in terms of securing, making sure that the home, the wife after losing or husband after losing a spouse, they don't end up losing their home as well. The program that we have, though, is not quite life insurance, as it were. Like I said, I commend life insurance. I don't see this as a competition with life insurance. I see it as a complement to it, meaning even if you are getting your life insurance, this is something that you would also possibly want to consider. We have a program that focuses specifically on death. And what it does is, again, our biggest competitor that we are trying to run out of business is GoFundMe. Because these people here may do it, but for us, yes, while we do it, it's a little bit of an embarrassment. And I don't know for some of you, if you, sometimes I've seen when people die, like from the Zimbabwean community, sometimes the death appears on some of our online magazines or newsletters, and then, you know, it will, the story will come there to say, but they are appealing for money through the GoFundMe. You can send money to this source, I mean, this through these ways. And then if you scroll down and you go to the comments are usually very negative, and that it becomes a big embarrassment, just the fact that you have died, you're respectable in community, and yet people begin to assail you that way after your death. You know, as African people, we don't like to assail people after they die. But I see that happening a lot when people are trying to raise money. So what we have is a situation where when somebody dies, we have an association whereby when people join, they join on the condition that they are promising to help others who experience death, with the expectation that when they also experience death, then they'll get help. And the people who get help are the people that you sign up. Meaning if I'm a member, I can sign up my spouse, I can sign up my children, I can sign up my parents, I can sign up my some extended family members. And when I sign them up, those people that have been signed up are the ones that will get that I will get help for when they die. The way our program runs is that when someone else dies in the within the association, my own contribution is calculated by the number of people that I signed up. So if I signed up two people, or we say five people, that's our minimum. Our minimum is five people. If I sign up five people, right now we contribute $15 per person. If I sign up five people, it means that when somebody dies, I'm paying $75. If I sign up, you know, 10 people, then it means when somebody dies, I'm contributing $150. That's how it goes. And then when one of those people that I signed up dies, the community gives me $5,000. And we pay that. We set a deadline of paying that amount within two business days. But with the several deaths that have happened, we have been able, I mean, except for one where we had some, you know, logistic issues, we have been able to pay on all of them within 24 hours. And that helps a lot, especially when somebody dies at home in, you know, in Africa and you want to travel. That helps you to be able to travel within, in other words, you can actually file your claim and be able to actually buy your ticket and still be able to get home, you know, before somebody's buried. And one thing that we like about the cash thing that we do, because we have other funeral programs, both in Zimbabwe and here, whereby you buy a you subscribe to a program, but they either say when somebody dies, we'll buy you a ticket or two, we'll buy you a casket, we'll provide a bus or something like that. What we like about our program is that with cash, it gives you the freedom to decide how to use it. Imagine if you signed up for a program that gives you two tickets if your parent dies, and then your parent dies today and there's coronavirus and you can't travel. It means you have been paying for that benefit, but you can't use it because now it has happened. You can't travel. Even if you travel, the rules are such that the person has to be buried within a certain period, you know, in Zambia or in Zimbabwe, and therefore, even if you travel, by the time you get there, the person has been buried. This gives you a lot more flexibility on how you want to use your money. So that's what we do. People pay $15 right now. As our membership increases, we lower our contributions because it means more people are contributing to the fund. So the contribution becomes lower. But right now, our contribution is $15. We have about 500, a little more than 500 participants right now. And again, like I said, we pay $5,000 when somebody dies. When you sign up today, you will be eligible to submit a claim after 3 months, meaning you cannot sign up today and then come next week to claim for a death next week. But we give you 3 months before you can submit a claim, even though you start contributing for others. If you sign up today, the people that you contribute, you sign up today will have 3 months. But those who you come to sign up later will be subject to 180 days. Because what we are avoiding is a situation where you signed up some people, but then next time you hear somebody has been hit by a car, and then, you know, you come back to try and sign them up so the association can pay, even though you have not been insuring them before. So anybody that you sign up later will be subject to 180 days waiting period. And I would say in short, that's about it. People who qualify to be under that coverage is your spouse, your in-laws, your children, extended family, you know, uncles, aunts, nieces and nephews. If it's your parents, they qualify up to any age. If it's extended family members, they qualify if they are signed up before their 70th birthday. I would say, in short, that's what we have.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chimera, for taking time to be on this call and also sharing the program that you have. So before I...
Could I just add one more detail? Just one more line. Yeah. Could I
Sir.
One more detail?
Yes.
One other little, you know, detail is that right now, because this is our one-year anniversary, so during the month of September, you join with a minimum of five people and the registration amount is $500. Which covers five people. Now that everybody who joins, you know, pays $100, which is $500 for five people. And that money is the money that we use to pay you when, you know, to pay somebody when there's a death. And then members, we give members the 2 weeks to contribute the $15 amount that I talked about. So what we are doing in the month of September to celebrate our anniversary is that anybody who wants to join, if they sign up people now in September, they can sign up and pay a 50% deposit, which would be $250, or whatever number of people that you are signing up. If you are signing up eight people, it's $400, and you have until October 31 to pay the balance. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, thank you, Mr. Machamera. So I like the way you put it. This is not life insurance, but this is a supplement, something that you can have aside from your life insurance. So, of course, we want people to have life insurance, but I think this is just one way for the people in Zimbabwe to help one another. So, again, I think in the previous meeting that I had with Mr. Machamera, he mentioned that this the Zimbabwean community is open for the Zambian community if we have enough to sort of emulate the system that they have, or we could be part of the same program that they have. I just wanted to make sure that at least the goal, just like he has pointed out, the goal is sort of to phase out this GoFundMe account. Because when you have some life insurance, then you are assured of something coming in. And then this program is just sort of an assistance program among us, just like brothers and sisters. So before we open it up for everyone, anyone else who has a question, please, first of all, make sure you unmute your phone if you have, you're not ready to ask a question. So if you are ready to ask a question, then you'll be able to unmute and then mute back. Because the reason is we want to make sure that at least we cut down on the background noise when all the lines are unmuted. So again, make sure you are muted if you are not ready to ask a question. So let's ask the team, first of all, Mr. Aka, what's your take on what you've heard so far?
I think that sounds like a very, very good initiative. And again, anything that supports and anything that enhances our community's ability to take care of itself is always welcome. And I'm happy that colleagues here have been able to share such initiatives, and I took note to make sure that I can make follow-ups on some of these initiatives that have been said here. Again, the idea for me and for our team at OZA is to ensure that our Zambian community's interest is advanced. And that their aspirations are promoted. And one of those things includes tapping into such initiatives and programs that help our people in times of need. So I'm glad that he's here. Zimbabweans are our brothers by extension. You know, and we work together. It's not the first time that I'm working through a program that is out of Harare not too long ago. M-Life was collaborating with us and another program, DFCA, in UK, which is actually out of Zimbabwe. So, I mean, we are one people. I would definitely support such initiatives that actually enhances our community's ability to actually handle emergencies and particularly funerals.
Okay, all right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So now we go to Mr. Joshua. What's your take on what you have heard and any words of wisdom, any stories you wish to relate, just because we want to ensure our goal here is to phase out this GoFundMe account. Just anything you wish to add on?
Yes, thank you very much again for having me. So just an observation, because I work in the life insurance industry, and one of the things that I found, I mean, I've been doing this for like 8 years now, is that just because of our traditions, sometimes it's always hard to kind of penetrate the African markets, because every time they had life insurance, they had death. So I think you need to preach life insurance beyond death, because life insurance is not just about death. A lot of people do not know that a lot of benefits that you get from life insurance while you're still alive. That literally get paid while you're still alive. I'll give you an example. If, for example, you find a situation where you have a terminal illness, it takes you a year, 2 years, whatever, the doctor confirms it, there are policies that can actually pay you while you're still alive and you don't have an income coming in. When you have a chronic illness, the same situation. When you have a critical illness, things like heart attack, cancer, all those things, a lot of companies now have got policies that will pay you. And there are now a lot of companies that have come up with products which, if nothing happens to you, let's say you had the term policy, at the end, they give you back all your money. A couple of years ago, I was asked to speak at the women's conference right here in Boston. And I wasn't even prepared. The pastor just called me 2 days before. I went there, I just put something real quick, and I just talked about exactly what I talked about. Nobody in that room I spoke to those women had ever heard about what I was talking about. Okay, now that kind of changed the way they thought about life insurance. Because all along it was like, oh, you get life insurance? Okay, we have to start preparing about your dying. Last year I lost my aunt right in Las Vegas, and I would like to thank Mr. Jimmy Katuta. He played a key role in ensuring that everything went smooth regarding my aunt's death. Now, when my aunt died, during that period, she lost income. She was still here. She lost income for a short period of time when the cancer diagnosis came in. When that cancer diagnosis came, if she had the type of policy that I'm talking about, my aunt would have had a stable income throughout that period prior to her death. When you begin to talk about life insurance in those terms, people begin to think of life insurance differently. I mean, the amount of calls I get when they hear about the type of stuff I'm talking about shoots through the roof when I speak at women's conferences. I speak at a lot of them. So we need to change the way we communicate with our people. Let's not just say we're doing life insurance because you have to die and then we have to bury you. What happens? I had a young lady, a sister at my church 2 years ago. Cancer diagnosis. She was out of work for 9 months. The husband had to travel to the United States from Liberia. He wasn't working. He didn't have papers. I can't even imagine the financial distress they had during that 9 months before she died. If that sister of mine had the type of policies I'm talking about, you know, yes, they would have been going through the caring and everything, but I know the financial burden wouldn't have been there while the husband was caring for the wife. So I think we need to change a little bit in the way we communicate with our people regarding life insurance. And that changed when I just spoke differently at a women's conference. And I've never communicated with Africans the same since that time. So I think that is something that we need to look at as we begin to go deeper into our communities and encouraging them to get into our life insurance programs. That's my two cents.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mwanza. So right now we're just going to play a little song to give people a few minutes to stretch and maybe get a cup of water and things like that. And then once we get back, then we're going to open the phone lines. So if you have questions, make sure at least you get ready with your questions. And after the song, then we'll go ahead and resume. So a few minutes just to stretch and relax, enjoy this beautiful song by B1. That's a beautiful song by B1 there. So for Mr. Machamera, that song just talks about when somebody dies, that's when people say a lot of good stuff, like he was a good man. But when somebody when they were leaving, nobody paid attention and things like that. So the song just talks about, hey, don't just say that somebody was a good man when they pass. So you need to appreciate people and say the truth when somebody dies. So that's a little bit about that song. So ladies and gentlemen, again, this is the Anos Radio Show. Today we have an extended version of our show. Normally we run for an hour, but considering the magnitude of our discussion, we decided to extend the program to another extra 30 minutes. So at this time, all the mics are unmuted. So if you have a question, you have a comment, please, this is the time you can ask. Of course, again, we have our special guest, Mr. Machamera, with an insurance program that they have for the community in Zimbabwe, and they are okay for us to duplicate what they have to share with our people here. So at this time, any questions, concerns, comments?
President, no, I have a
I have a
yes.
question, or more like an inquiry, really. Do we have, out of all the leaders that have spoken here, do we have an insurance that will take people without social security numbers? And if we don't, what can we do to have such a policy?
Yeah, so I'll let Mr. Before I come in, Mr. Machamera, if you can speak about your program in terms of the people that qualify.
For us, the only requirement to qualify is that the primary member, the one who registers, has to be a resident in the United States. And the reason for that is that we have a requirement that if you collect money from the people that are assisting you, you have to remain a member for an additional 2 years. That way you are not just joining to collect money and you leave. We have a requirement that anybody who collects money, is obliged to stay an active member for an additional 2 years. And if they do not stay that long, then we have a right to actually sue to be able to recover what we gave them minus what they contributed to the association. So we would not be able to implement that if somebody lives in Canada or UK or in Zambia or Zimbabwe. So that is the only requirement that we have. We don't have any other requirement. Just residence in the United States is the only thing that we require. And just while I'm on the air, I might also just add for that, some of your listeners who may be interested, we also have, if you need more information about our association, we have a website, and the website is www.resthavenfund.org. www.resthavenfund.org. And you can also text me or even call me if you need more information. And if you like to write the number, it's 817-966-2926. 817-966-2926. But otherwise, in short answer to your question, is all we need is somebody to be residing in the United States. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so in addition to Mr. Machimera, MLife or Madison Life Insurance, because that's a group that we have here in Indiana. We've had life insurance going on with Madison Life. And Madison Life, for those who may not know, it's a company based in Zambia, and it covers Zambians and it covers Zimbabweans. I think they are in the process of extending their coverage to others. I think also just want to mention that Madison Life Insurance in Zambia, of course, I've had countless calls from people saying, hey, that company is going through challenges in Zambia and things like that. So there is a difference, just like you have renter's insurance, you have auto insurance, you have boat insurance, there are all kinds of insurance. So Madison Life in Zambia, as far as the Madison life insurance or final expenses, it's fine. And I've been with them for quite some time. I have seen they have covered some funerals that people here in the United States have died, and they were able to cover the expenses in the range of $10,000 plus for each funeral. And the funeral that I think the last one that we had, I think the family is not ashamed to say that Madison Life covered. When our President Susan died in Philadelphia, the Madison Life Insurance, the same that people think it has problems, it was able to cover that funeral for our colleague and President Susan Mahoney. So the answer again to the question is, if you are a Zambian on Madison Life Insurance, you do not have to have a social security number. You just have to be a Zambian. But the cultural benefits group, which is the underwriters, is Hartford Life Insurance, which is a bona fide American company. You have to have a social security number. But so the answer to the question is, no social security number is required for Madison Life. Yes, a social security number is required for Hartford Life Insurance. So that's the answer to the question. Any other question?
Yeah, thank you, President. No, this is Blair again. So I just wanted to add to what has been said so far, and I'm so glad you pointed out the Madison Life Insurance terms. In addition to that, President Irene, who's the current president of the Chicago Zambians, is working on a negotiation where we will allow, because we always want to take into account the prevailing situation. Like we talked about, we need to understand our demographics as leaders to understand the challenges that the Zambians who are here are facing. So if they don't have papers, they don't have social security, then we can deploy a range of options, just like we've heard from our Zimbabwean brother, that you just need to be a part of that association to get the benefits. So President Irene has been working on a program where those of us that probably, you know, don't have social security and we know we're from Zambia, if you can't access Madison, if you can't access Hudson Insurance, then there's another option that she's working on. And we're trying to make sure we cover all bases. And it is important, actually, this is the reason why we push for this exchange of information. And I want to plug in here that we have a ZANUS website, www.zanus.org, where you can find information, because the biggest thing, like we've said, unless you connect, unless you access the information,
okay, so that's a challenge with the unmuting all the night.
The key part is you need to make this information accessible to our members. Whether they are on OZA or through the various associations that we have across the United States, these are the websites. And I am trying to make sure that this information that has been shared today, there's been a lot of great information shared today, including what my brother Joshua Manza has said. You don't have to have insurance just cover for your death and other things. There are ways you can exploit term insurance to pay for education, to pay for when you are, if you happen to have cancer or some life impacting disease that stops you from going to work. Because we know the insurance in this country, going back to when you're in Rome, we know about the insurance in this country is mostly tied to your job. If you can't work, you don't have insurance. You don't have health insurance, you can't pay your life insurance. So we need to reemphasize that there are ways, options. If you find yourself cut off from the work insurance, what other options do you have? You have MetLife, you have Hartford, and then you have the option of just joining the body of Zambians, be present in the community where you are. The biggest challenge that we have, like I said, it was easy for Stanley, an American, to find David Livingston when he was lost in the middle of Africa. But there are Zambians here who claim they can't know about the association in their city, yet when they are in trouble, you know, we are called upon to help them out. So I like the Zimbabwean idea, but you have to connect to it. You have to be a part of it. And I think that's the first step that we really need to emphasize. So we will put out information on how you can join your local association. This platform is about the leaders. We have Las Vegas. We have California. We have Seattle. We have Georgia. We have leaders from across the United States. So every Zambian that is here has a menu of options to choose from. If you like the insurance that you have with work, tap into that. If you like MetLife, tap into that. If you like Hartford, tap into that. You can also join. Because I give you an example of there are people that have died here because of how connected they were to the community, how relevant they were when they were alive. Even if you open some of them, actually, we had to open GoFundMe, but the response was different. Within a space of a week, money was raised to repatriate the body because they were a part of the community. It goes back to our culture. You know, if you're in a community and you keep to yourself or you don't participate, guess what? When you need help, people will say, yeah, he didn't come to my funeral. Why should I go to his funeral? Or he didn't do this for me. Why should I do this for him? So whatever option we are articulating as leaders, the members have to participate. Just like we heard about the Zimbabwe model, you have to join. And the person who joins has to recruit people. It's about numbers. We are looking for 1,000 Zambians to join through the association because there's strength in numbers. If we had 10,000, just let me scale it back, 1,000 Zambians on a single platform, whether through OZA or through the associations, if just each of those 1,000 Zambians gave it a dollar, that's $1,000. If they gave $10, that's $10,000. And you would have the body in Zambia. Because our relatives back home, they insist on these things just to make it law. Because sometimes I think we don't go to the ugly stuff. There was a Zambian who died here in the state of Illinois. And unfortunately, because of this donor fatigue and all these issues that we talked about, and this has happened elsewhere, we couldn't raise the money. And the person had to be cremated. The sad part is the relative said, we don't want the ashes because this is, what are we going to do with the ashes? So we need to talk about these things now and make it clear to every Zambian, you have a list of options. Please connect with the association, connect with OZA, connect where you are. If you have to join the Zimbabweans, by all means, join them. At least we'll know you're covered. So that's my two cents, but I know, and I'll let other callers ask to add.
Okay. No, well said. Well said, sir. So, again, we are sort of running low on time. We just have like less than 2-3 minutes to wind up. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think I'll go ahead and just summarize due to lack of time. So, thank you again, Mr. Machimera, for taking time to be on our show. We'll share your number with our communities respectively. Again, thank you for your time. And also thank you to Mr. Joshua Mwanza and also Mr. Aka representing OZA. So as leaders, it's incumbent upon us to ensure that at least we are doing everything possible to sensitize and educate our people, because death is not if it will happen, it's when it will happen. So I know most of us are very relaxed and we just want to feel, no, death won't happen, but it will happen. So if it's something that you're guaranteed it will happen, then it makes every sense for you to ensure that at least you put all the necessary plans ahead of time. So just like you've heard, some of us here in Indiana, we have M Life or Madison Life Insurance, and you do not have to have a social security number to join. And the good thing with Madison Life Insurance is you can actually cover your folks back home for a sum of $5,000. So we have had life insurance going on for here in Indiana for over 5 years. And the insurance that we've had is Madison Life. And then I know our people, there is a lot that they talk about Madison Life on the social media, but Madison Life Insurance, life insurance, it's very much alive. They have been paying for the people who have launched in some claims. So you also have an option to go with the cultural benefits group, or you can go with any other insurance program. So basically what we are pushing for as leaders, whether it's OZA, OZA is part of Zambia. Some of us were members of OZA. I, as the association president for ZANUS, I attended the first OZA convention. We are working as Zambians, regardless of whichever organization you belong to. At the end of the day, we just want to ensure that at least we are sensitizing, educating our people to have life insurance, because the end goal is we want to forego to eliminate this GoFundMe account, because in as much as things happen, but it's incumbent upon us as leaders, as parents, to make sure that whilst we still have time, to make sure that at least we are looking into these important matters. So, ladies and gentlemen, I know we've come to the end of our program. I wish we could have stayed on for another 30 minutes or so to discuss, but I just want to ensure that we are putting out the same message, encouraging our folks in our communities to have life insurance. So again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Machamera. Thank you, Mr. Mwanza, and all the leaders, Mr. Aka, for joining. It's good night for now, and enjoy this song.
Michael Jackson.